The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member at tntradio.live. This is Jesse Zurawell and Perspective on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome to Perspective. I'm Jesse Zurawell, your host for the hour. With me today is founding editor of Off Guardian, which you can find at off-guardian.org, Kat Black. Kat, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today. I trust you're doing well.
Thank you. Yes, great to be here.
So it seems to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you publish pieces every so often when something sticks in your craw, something really bothers you. And your most recent piece at Off Guardian is titled Lab Leaks in Inverted Commas and Brick Walls. Why did you feel compelled to publish this piece?
Well, it's been an ongoing thing, hasn't it? Since the war in Ukraine began, we've seen people retreating from every awareness that we developed between 2020 and 2021, and going back to narratives that now look increasingly irrelevant or questionable. And it just seemed that the lab leaks is another aspect of that. Let's talk about, oh my God, it's a lab leak. Let's talk about anything other than the fact that in 2020, we saw our entire world model appear to go up in smoke, appear to at least be highly questionable. We saw people who we thought were ideologically opposed to each other, suddenly all following the same agenda, not reluctantly, not through pressure, not because of this or that, not apparently anyway, but willingly, in lockstep. And I think that is a piece of an enormous moment, a momentous thing that we need to keep in our minds going forward. And it seems very clear that they want us to forget it, and they want us to go back to the fake binaries, the narratives that we're familiar with, which are things that we on Off Guardian have talked about over the years that we have been in existence. Mm-hmm. I think more is demanded of us than that at this point. And that piece was trying, yeah, again, I have done it previously, to point this out. The wall at the back of the theater, they showed it to us. And it seems that rather than realizing what this means, we just want to pretend it wasn't there.
Yes, I, as you probably know, wholeheartedly agree with that. And yeah. It's been, I want to say unbelievable, but as I've said before many times, nothing to me is unbelievable anymore, or nothing to me is shocking, I should say. But it's been, for lack of a better term, unbelievable to see, especially since the start of the latest stage of the war in Ukraine on February 24th of last year. It's been amazing to see a lot of people, especially in what's considered alternative and or independent media, retreat back to picking a side to a lot of them taking Russia's side, openly doing so, and to promulgate this argument that Russia is fighting globalism, Russia is in an existential fight for its sovereignty, and completely forget or choose to ignore that in 2020, 2021, and still to this day, Russia is pursuing, China is pursuing the same exact globalist policy objectives as what's called the collective West now by a lot of the media that's taken the side of the so-called emerging multipolar world order. It's been unbelievable and fascinating in all the wrong ways to behold.
Yeah. Yes, it has. Despairing, really.
Yes, and it seems like beneath that, what I just described, there have been sub-narratives, I suppose, rolled out, like the lab leak theory that is meant to, I think it's meant to do a lot of things, but one of them is to further that schism that's emerged, the retreat that's emerged since February 24th of last year. Absolutely. I think you agree with that, but do let me know your thoughts.
Absolutely. The lab leak has, we always said on Off Guardian that the lab leak was just a backdoor way of selling the official narrative, because it's been obvious for a very long time that the most important part of the official narrative is that the disease, the new, scary, deadly disease was real. This is essential. This is absolutely essential. It looks increasingly as if they can afford to get rid of almost every other aspect of it, including maybe even the efficacy of the vaccines. But they can't, they absolutely cannot allow for the fact that it wasn't real, that it was a fake pandemic. That'll never be admissible. So any admission that they can make that appears to be conceding ground but does not concede that is actually of benefit to them. If they say, yes, it was a lab leak, everybody will run after that, forgetting that in order for there to be a lab leak, there has to be something to leak. Mm-hmm. And there is absolutely no evidence of anything new. No new scary disease, nothing. Just the old symptoms of flu and a new name and a scam test.
Exactly.
The lab leak destroys that, doesn't it? Lab leak has us all debating about whether it was a lab leak or whether it wasn't a lab leak. The Chinese did it. No, it was the Russians. No, it was the Americans. It's perfect. Perfect smokescreen.
Right. And it also, in terms of China, it furthers the idea, which I think is way overblown, that the US and China are heading toward war with one another. They obviously have what you could broadly call geopolitical disputes. But when you look at the uppermost levels of cooperation, they're all intact in terms of the international monetary and financial system, for example.
Exactly.
There's no fractiousness there. There may be surface moves being made that make it look like there's a so-called trade war going on. And there is something to be said about de-dollarization and the loss of the US dollar's global supremacy, but it's not fracturing anything at the uppermost levels of cooperation. And if you look at what the globalists broadly speaking, want, whether they're in the so-called West or the so-called East, they want to see de-dollarization. They want to see the dollar fail. They want to see a move toward what Mark Carney called in 2019 a synthetic hegemonic currency. Ian Davis has pointed this out many times.
Yes.
And essentially what he's talking about is CBDC. And when it comes to CBDC, as just one example, the US mm-hmm. and China are fully on board with that. And that requires cooperation through a global financial system. And there could be something on the ground level that resembles conflict or actually is even conflict, like what we're seeing in Ukraine, where people very yep. much are suffering and dying. But it's never going to get to the level where it breaks the global system, their global system apart.
I absolutely agree with that. Yes, I think that's absolutely true. I think an awful lot of people who are invested in taking a side in this war should probably go and have another read of Orwell, because I know it's a cliche, but, and we all know the most famous aspects of 1984, but one of the things that permeates the whole book is the way that war is used. And he actually specifically says that the war is not of one of the blocks against another, but of the leaders of all the blocks against their respective peoples. He understood that already. And he even implies that to some extent, the war is performative for the simple basis of cohesion, distraction, using up resources, enforcing shortages. We have an awful lot of that taking shape right now, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, there's a, you can see where the war can be used to take what they began with COVID to the next step, and in fact is being used, the war along with many other things, climate change, bird flu, you know, any excuse to shut down a farm or, you know, impose more restrictions. And that is global. It's not the Americans doing it to us. It's the globalist body that brought us COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And when you look at the, there are so many things to point out with the war in Ukraine that give the lie to this being an existential geopolitical conflict or a geopolitical conflict that is going to, it is going to, and it has been generating fundamental changes in the world order. But again, that's not, I don't think that's something that either side disagrees on. I think they're in agreement about that, if I can use the term sides. But when you look at, for example, if the US were serious about calling out Russia for its performance in this war, in this latest iteration of the war, or for its hypocrisy or what have you, whatever you want to call it, the lies behind the reasons it's in Ukraine right now, it would point to things like late last year when there was a prisoner exchange, and this was mediated by Turkey, Saudi, and the UAE. And Russia gave back to Ukraine essentially dozens upon dozens of Azov fighters, the Nazis, as they're called in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. And these were the Azov fighters who were holed up at Azovstal, the steel plant where there was the standoff that was taking up headlines for quite some time. So Russia released those men and other soldiers back to Ukraine ostensibly, although in the reports from the time it was stated, and you had to go to Russian media to find this, Russian language media, it was stated that these men would cool their heels in Turkey until the end of the war. I doubt that they stayed in Turkey. There's no reason we should take Turkey's word or anybody's word for it. And in fact, one of them surfaced in Israel, and the multipolar camp was calling this out, failing to acknowledge that Russia released that individual. And now, and who did Russia get in return? Well, it got some soldiers in return, but most notably, it got Medvedchuk, Viktor Medvedchuk in return, who's an oligarch, and Putin is his daughter's godfather. Very close connections there. And even those in the Russian language pro-Russia, pro-so-called special military operation media were upset about this. And now those Azov fighters are making their way, I don't know which ones specifically, but some of them absolutely are making their way back onto the battlefield. And this is never called out, certainly not called out by Russia. It's not called out by Ukraine. It is called out by some Russian language media, but it's never called out by the US or China. And to me, that's so glaring. It spits in the face of what we were told by Russia, that this is about denazifying Ukraine, about demilitarizing Ukraine. That's not what's happening. And if I can figure that out, then certainly those who are, I think, performing to a large extent a hatred toward Russia, performing a desire to destroy Russia, they should be the first ones pointing that out. And this is just one example, but that completely, that never happens. And there are many more examples I could get into, and I have in the past, but all of that to say, it's just so glaringly obvious that the upper level of cooperation is very much intact.
Absolutely. And that's what helps to give the performative nature of the thing, which, not to say that there's no war, it's not to say that nobody's dying. They don't mind killing the proles, but there is a performative aspect to it, because they could stop it if they wanted. We know they can cooperate in a moment's notice, because we know what they did in 2020. And once you internalize that, you have to accept that conflicts are there because they are advantageous, and that they are, to an extent, performed for our benefit. We are supposed to be looking at the war now, because we're not supposed to be looking back at 2020 and remembering what we saw, because that's very, very dangerous. There was an awakening starting, I think, at the end of 2021 with the truckers and various ordinary people just suddenly having a heightened awareness that there weren't any, that, you know, the leaders of their nations and the various nations in the world, they're not looking out for them. I think more people began to realize that it was down to them as individuals to actually effect some kind of change in themselves and the people around them. And I think that an awful lot of what is going on now is a reaction from the establishment, from the powers that be, for almost reflexively to that feeling that was rising. I think they want us to look at anything else, anything, even, oh my God, look, there's a UFO, anything other than remember what we learned, the most valuable lesson that I think any of us could ever learn, that they don't care. They don't care about us. They aren't really at war with each other. They are at war, they use us as their little, you know, their little mannequins that can fight and kill each other, but they're not at war. War is just handy for them. Like pandemics, like death of any kind, can be useful. And
yes,
I just hope that, I just wish that people would wake up. It's almost like there was a lot of people that I was quite close friends with have flipped and gone back to that way of seeing it, in that the very divided, you know, binary, the Russians are great, the Americans are evil thing. They've gone back to that. And I think in a way it's a relief, because it's from their perspective, or, and that's easy to understand why, it's easier to deal with. I know that. I grew up with it. The East-West divide, the Cold War. I understand this language. I understand American imperialism. I can get my head around it. It's even a little bit reassuring to think that there's one side of this that might be slightly better guys who might actually have our backs. But right. We have to wake up to the fact that they don't. That the sides mean virtually nothing, only in terms of collateral damage to small people who they don't think matter.
Yes, absolutely.
They'll have their war for as long as they want their war, and then they will stop it when they've got what they want out of it.
Right. And until then, we'll get, especially from so-called alternative and independent media, a lot of it, this idea that, well, Russia has to keep fighting because X, Y, and Z. And it's, again, yeah. It doesn't take that much digging, in my opinion, in my experience, to see the lie in that. And I agree with you. I think that there is a relief in going back to so-called political realism. And I've heard this espoused by people who have gone back to that. They've said, they've advanced the argument that, well, we're back in the province of political realism now. 2020, 2021, those were blips on the radar, but this war has put a spanner in the works and reoriented what we thought we were seeing for those 2 years.
Yes.
What we're still seeing.
Yes. Yeah.
And
we are still seeing it.
Yeah. And at a certain point, you have to know that you're lying to yourself if you subscribe to that. And I see a lot of people in that sphere more and more doing mental and linguistic and argumentative gymnastics to justify the position they've taken. And it's despairing, as you said. I believe you said despairing.
Yeah,
it's,
I did.
It's also, it's so many things to behold. It's
unbelievable.
It's frustrating. It would be funny if people weren't suffering and dying in mass.
Yes.
And not just because of the war.
Absolutely. It is funny, really, even though it's blackly funny, isn't it? It's dark humor. It's absurd. We have people now saying, oh, well, yes, but there were, The coronavirus was fake everywhere in the West, but in China it was real. Mm-hmm. They had to do exactly the same things that we did, but they did them for totally different reasons. We don't have any evidence of this, of course, but we know it must be true because the Chinese are on our side. It's just, it's insane. It's completely insane. You know, it's becoming, it's QAnon style reasoning, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
It's, well, trust to the process. Putin's got this. He's going to sort this. And he's eventually going to come out and expose everything. And we're all going to realize that he was on our side the whole time. Meanwhile, he's building the same damn prison that Biden is.
Yes, absolutely.
And you don't seem to see it. I mean, you've got someone like Riley Wagaman, who is like a lone voice saying, no, this is what's actually going on in Russia. And people, mm-hmm. every time we publish him, our comments are full of people going, oh, I don't know why you're being so anti-Russian. We're not. We're just telling the truth.
Yes.
We're just telling you what's happening.
Right. And he's somebody who's lived in Russia for a long time.
Yes.
And I've talked to him many times, both on the program and off the program, and he has no hatred of Russia whatsoever. I don't have a hatred of Russia either. I'm half Ukrainian.
Me either.
I grew up with a lot of my father's business partners, Ukrainian, Russian, Serbian, coming to the US and staying with us when they were visiting for whatever business meetings they were doing. And there was no animus there. And this was in the 90s, particularly right after the collapse of the Soviet Union, when there was a lot more, well, it's hard to compare, but there was certainly a lot of fractiousness at that point, because you had countries which were at least nominally cohering under this massive Soviet bloc, and then all of a sudden that was broken, and there was all kinds of vying for power and jockeying for positioning going on. But I distinctly remember my father's business partners, Ukrainian, Russian, Serbian, Chechen, even being in the same room talking, and there was no animosity whatsoever. There was no hatred, no cultural hatred or what have you. And that was not something that I was aware of or picking up on at the time. But looking back, I obviously remember that. And I have no hatred toward Russia. I have hatred toward what the Russian state is doing, but I also have hatred toward what the Ukrainian state is doing as well.
Exactly.
I have hatred toward what the Chinese state is doing to not just its people, but the people of Yemen, which is something that we don't talk about because it's inconvenient to the pro-Russian narrative. Russia is also involved in the genocidal war on Yemen. That's something we don't talk about either. Mm-hmm. And I'm going in a lot of directions here, but just in terms of the people, whatever country they're from, are not disposed to hatred toward one another. But that's what we're told is the deal over and over. And meanwhile, these powers that are telling us that are cooperating, whether it's in places like Yemen or whether it's over just ridiculous narratives like the lab leak, which we started off talking about.
Yeah,
and now it's gotten so problematic that it's seeped into what you could call broadly the freedom movement. And you see people like Dr. Robert Malone and others of that ilk saying that this is real, reinforcing the pandemic narrative, reinforcing the virus and contagion pseudoscientific narratives. And I put out a lot there, but I'd like to get your response.
Well, for one thing, reinforcing the pandemic narrative, that's not gone. It's just been put on a shelf. When they need to pull it off, they will. They will pull it down and they will use it again. And not challenging that fundamental fact, not actually pointing out the provable fact admitted, even admitted by themselves, that there was no real pandemic. If we let that go, then they will use it again, inevitably. About Off Guardian, for example, you're talking about, you know, having an anti-Russian stunt. We were founded, we started as a response to the Guardian attacking Russia and presenting the most flagrant lies about the Ukraine war back in 2014 when it kicked off. And for years, we were called Russian shills. And now, simply because we publish some facts, for the most part, provable facts that demonstrate that Russia is not evil, not any worse, just no better than the Americans, that basically they're all one mass with a different flag stuck in it. We're absolutely castigated. It's absurd. It's just a means of avoiding, I think, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Avoiding facing what you're actually saying. Oh, they're just anti-Russian. Ignore them. And it's very unfashionable right now. And we're in a pretty small minority, I think, actually daring to put that point of view out there. You know, but if I am very much afraid that if more people don't wake up, more people in the alt media don't wake up to what's being done right now, that it's going to be too late. In the background, they're still grinding out. They're building, as I said in my article, they're still building the prison. They're just building it slow. And meanwhile, mm-hmm. they're getting us to look at their shows. Look at all this amazing stuff that's happening over here, but don't look at this little bit of legislation about farming. Don't look at this little bit of legislation about energy production. Ignore all that until we've built your prison and you are now completely locked up with us. You only have one source for food. You only have one source of income, and that's CBD, which is tied to your social credit or whatever. And then it's too late. But somehow it's like they don't want to see it. They don't want to see it. It mm-hmm. very much concerns me. Because where are the voices right now? There's a few. But there's not enough.
Right. I agree. And I think that it's our job to point out these problems, but not, and I'm not saying Off Guardian does this in any way, but not try to convert people. People have to come to the information and figure it out for themselves. It's not going to stop me from arguing what I've been arguing for quite some time now, which I know is based on evidence and a huge archive that I've assembled of articles and studies and just constantly looking at developments, and I'll put those in front of people on the limited mm-hmm. platforms I have, but what people do with that information is up to them. I'm not seeking to convert in any way, and mm-hmm. I never will. But mm-hmm. in terms of, for example, the schism. So we've got the schism that's emerged as a result of the war in Ukraine that we just talked about. And now there's one that's been in existence for some time, but it's getting wider within what you could call the health freedom movement. And it's very generally between the germ theory and the terrain theory camp. And I consider myself in the latter, but I less and less care what people in the former think. If they want to do the work to see that germ theory is provable nonsense or not. I really don't care what Del Bigtree, for example, if he ever sees the light, or if RFK Jr. ever sees the light, or Robert Malone ever sees the light. I mean, the list of these people is endless. And I think they're choosing not to at this point. And maybe they always have been. But I would, in terms of a lab leak, the existence of, let's just take SARS-CoV-2, forget about all so-called viruses, but SARS-CoV-2, in terms of the existence of that, I highly advise people to go to nature.com and look up, it's presented as a study, but it's listed as an article, a new coronavirus associated with human respiratory disease in China. And this was one of the earliest papers or articles published claiming to have sequenced the SARS-CoV-2 so-called virus. And it was published in early February of 2020, sometimes referred to as the Fan Wu paper. That's the lead author of the paper. Yep. And if you go to the methods section and you look at what went into the so-called genomic sequencing of the fluid samples, and then cell culturing of those samples that were taken from a sick person, you can see the whole fraud right there, I would say. How this supposedly new and novel coronavirus and the disease it allegedly causes was, yes, it was invented in a lab, and it did leak from a lab, and that was a computer lab. And it's right there in this article.
Yeah,
and that's true. And anyone can see it. And that people, you know, you have to call into question the motives, and I'm not going to speculate on what they are, but the motives of people in who say they're in the health freedom movement and don't want to look at this, and instead point the finger at people like me and say, well, you're being divisive, you're distracting, and we're right on the edge of bringing people to justice, which I don't think is true, but bringing Fauci to justice, and here you are throwing this into the mix when people in the so-called no virus camp, for lack of a better term, have been screaming about this from the beginning of the COVID-19 operation. But kind of to put a nail in that coffin, at least for the purpose of this conversation, I highly advise people to go to that paper, the so-called literature, and see the fraud that was concocted.
And yes, it started with a fraud. And there's an even more questionable thing even before that, because the big question really is, why were they looking for it? Mm-hmm. I mean, the story that we were told at a later stage was they found this strange new pneumonia, and therefore they thought they better try and find the cause. And they assumed for some reason that the very first quote unquote virus they found was the one that caused it. But it later developed that COVID doesn't have any unusual symptoms. The whole point of COVID is that it can't be distinguished from flu. So why were they looking in the first place? It's like they needed an excuse to start their narrative, but they didn't really have one. That's the point where the lie begins. There was this strange pneumonia, and we felt we should find out why, but there wasn't. The pneumonia associated with COVID is simple, basic pneumonia. It's not different. So why were they looking for a new cause for an old thing? The lie is, as you say, the lie is right there from the very beginning. Right there.
Yes.
The whole business of looking for the virus, finding the virus, it's all nonsense. That was just a sort of token effort to make it look plausible before they launched on the big number, which is lockdowns, pandemics.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yes, and in terms of this being a U.S. operation or a Chinese operation, it's both. Because here's another early paper. This one was published in the New England Journal of Medicine. Again, it's presented as an article, but it was published on January 24th of 2020, a novel coronavirus from patients with pneumonia in China, 2019. And this claims to isolate the so-called new and novel coronavirus. But when you read through the whole paper, again, particularly the method section, but the summary is very telling. It essentially says that in December 2019, a cluster of patients with pneumonia of unknown cause was linked to a seafood wholesale market in Wuhan, China. A previously unknown beta coronavirus was discovered through the use of unbiased sequencing in samples from patients with pneumonia. And so you go on none of from that.
None of that stands up, does it? None of it. I mean, what do they mean?
An unsourced pneumonia.
What are you talking about? Every pneumonia that comes into a hospital is unsourced in the sense that they just got it and nobody knows why.
Right.
It's nonsense. And then they say, oh, but when we did some little, we did some Mickey Mouse, and then we decided that it was a new virus that caused it. Oh, it's nonsense.
Yes, and just a few more things about this. So it says a previously unknown beta coronavirus was discovered. Well, it's not as if they went into this thinking with the approach as it should have been that we don't know what this is, but we're going to find out. They assumed, for reasons I think that are obvious, as you just stated, yes, that they were looking for something. They assumed, I don't think innocently so, that this is caused by a so-called virus, and we're going to make sure that we find something that we can spin into a so-called new and novel coronavirus. And that's exactly Absolutely. What they did. And I highly encourage people to read.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. I agree.
To read this article. And what's amazing is when you get down to the last, I believe it's the last paragraph, it says, although our study does not fulfill Koch's postulates, our analyses provide evidence implicating 2019 nCoV, which is what it was called at the time, in the Wuhan outbreak. So they admit they didn't fulfill Koch's postulates in isolating and proving pathogenicity, etc.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, one of the authors of this paper is George Fu Gao, who is the head of the Chinese CDC, and he was also a lead participant in Event 201, along with Avril Haines, who is behind the latest lab leak yarn that came out through the Wall Street Journal. She participated in that. And one of her most notable statements from Event 201 was talking about flooding the zone or flooding the information zone, making sure that the information was coming via official channels and providing official narratives and silencing all competing messages. Mm-hmm. And this piece that came out through the Wall Street Journal and then was picked up by all of the other usual corporate media suspects, it's nothing if not flooding the zone. And again, it's been astounding to see, although I think very telling to see who's picked this up. People, again, like Dr. Robert Malone, and have run with it. And in doing so have perpetuated this idea that there was no cooperation going on here between the US and China in terms of the origins, so to speak, of this non-existent virus and non-existent disease.
Trying to make us forget what we actually witnessed, which was clearly this, a steady rollout.
Mm-hmm.
We saw the Chinese kick it off and then everybody else pick it up. It was clear that there was cooperation. No one was challenging anyone else's story. If there had been, why would we assume that the Chinese, thinking, really truly believing that they were under attack by some unknown pathogen, would simply go along with some story created by the US? What benefit would there be to them in doing that? Why not say, we found this terrifying new virus. We think it was created in a lab. None of it holds together. None of it makes any sense.
They don't, whatever they're, here's the thing. They are doing something in these bio labs. What they're not doing is tinkering with viruses. There are no viruses to tinker with. They're tinkering with toxins and genetic sequences and making who knows what. But even if they made something and that was released or it leaked and it caused sickness on any level, well, where is it? It's never been found. What's been found is the cobbling together of people's lung fluid samples and other fluid samples to invent something. That's all that's been found, and that's not scientific. That's nothing. That doesn't tell you anything.
And it's just narrative. It's simply telling a story that by its own weight keeps going. But there's never been anything behind it. There's never been anything that you could... Where is it that there's no virus that you can point to and say, this is causing it? There's no test. But even if you claim that this random virus they apparently found is the cause of some kind of disease, they can't test for it. And since they can't test for the existence of this virus in people to any degree of pathology, then they can't identify, even if you assume that there was a new disease, which there was not, there was no evidence for a new disease, but even if you assumed that there was, there is no way of linking that disease to any pathogen, because they do not have a test that will identify a specific pathogen. The whole thing has never fit, by their own admission, but sort of hiding in plain sight. There was never any way that they could have known that there was a new disease, even if there was. But there wasn't. There was simply a collection of old symptoms that they decided to call with a new name. And that was enough, apparently, to convince an awful lot of people.
Right. And then, of course, you had the global corporate media operations, although a lot of alternative media is complicit in this as well, in scaring the daylights out of people and leading them to believe that there is an actual threat. And what we're seeing with this latest lab leak yarn is a continuation of that, but now it has a more intensified level of geopolitics inserted into it, as in the US versus China. And it's hotted up a lot more.
Absolutely. They very much want to bring that back into the. You could see that in 2020, they were trying something along the lines of global. This is a challenge to humanity. We need to come together and fix it, but that didn't work. So they have reignited the old conflict narrative in order to basically sell the same thing, but in a different package. They're now, right. they're still promoting the same thing in the background, while people are being urged now to take sides over whose fault it was, forgetting that there wasn't anything, and that we know they were all in it together. We saw them all roll this out together. Nobody questioned mm-hmm. it. And now we have mm-hmm. to pretend we didn't see that. It's maddening. It's maddening.
Yes. And it the rollout, the synchronized rollout, it's in terms of the so-called countermeasures, whether we're talking about the injections, whether we're talking about lockdowns, whether we're talking about murderous hospital and care home
yep.
protocols. Mm-hmm. And there's also a synchronicity in terms of the papers and the studies. So if you look at the ones that came out of China, if you look at the ones that have come out of the US, the ones that have come out of Australia, they all pull the same fraud in terms of claiming isolation of something that causes an yes. allegedly new disease. It's yeah. the same trick they all pull. And that's yes. another level of it that we need to keep in mind as well. Another very foundational level.
Absolutely. Yes. I mean, there must have been, if anybody who looks just a little bit at what was going on, who looked at the papers, who studied the mortality figures, they could see what was happening. If we know, they know, obviously. Mm-hmm. They know that this is a fraud, and they've gone along with it. Everybody has perpetuated it, not just gone along with it, as you said, perpetuated it.
Mm-hmm.
Told the same lies, promoted the same solutions that they know were not necessary. Killed people in the same way with their vaccines and their lockdowns, deprivations. Done actually awful things to human beings across the world. And now we're supposed to actually believe that Putin didn't really believe in all of that. That he was just, well, what was he doing? I'd love someone to actually spell that out, wouldn't you? Because they never do in too much detail. What was his plan? Why is he still going along with it? Yes, exactly. Yeah. It was so obvious. Why is he still doing it? Why is it? Why are they in fact doing it even more in Russia in some ways than they are here? He's still promoting the vaccines and the this and the that. He's still telling the same lies about COVID. He could very easily yep. stop if he wanted to. No.
Yes, but that's never been in the cards, and it never will be. And meanwhile,
but it's going to be though, Jesse. He's going to sometime in the future, just like Trump. He's going to suddenly yes. reveal the whole story, you know, when yes, the time's right.
He's waiting for that glorious day. I thought it would come today with Xi Jinping's re-election triumph, but I've been disappointed so far. But
just
meanwhile,
keep the faith.
As we wrap here, I just want to point out, though, that while all of this, what we've been talking about, goes on as we're continually led by the nose, and I'm just speaking in people in general, that there is this real geopolitical conflict going on. You have, for example, Russia, just like you have in the US, pursuing, and this is coming directly from the Bank of Russia's website, sustainable finance, disclosure of information on bond issues, and pursuing disclosure, getting the disclosure mechanisms in place for corporate climate transition related and sustainable development goals, SDG bonds, which is completely in line with the 2030 agenda of the UN. And RT published a piece a few days ago on the 8th of March Back in the USSR, 15-minute cities have unleashed a wave of conspiracy theories, but the concept is borrowed from a Soviet idea, and it's entirely about manufacturing consent for 15-minute ghettos. And this is, if you read the Telegraph in the UK, it's saying the same thing. There's nothing to worry about here. This is an idea that's been in the works for the long time, and it's for your own good. So, yeah,
they're not even bothering to conceal it. They're just hoping that no one really notices. It's incredible. Yeah,
it is incredible.
No one will put the pieces together. They're too busy in their little compartment fighting their own little battle that they don't see.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Kat, we are up to time, but thank you for coming on and speaking with me today and sharing your insights. And I hope we can do it again.
That would be lovely. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Take care.
Bye-bye.